You are listening to the Sunday morning sermon series from the Grapevine Church of Christ in Grapevine, Texas. We're a family that is devoted to giving our lives to and living our lives for Jesus Christ. If you'd like to know more, you can check out our website, www.grapevinechurch.com. Thank you for listening.
So today we start a new year, first Sunday of the new year. 2017 is behind us. 2018, we're looking dead ahead at. Some of us may be preparing for 2018 with excitement and anticipation. Other of us may be looking at 2018 with hesitancy and anxiousness. But either way, we have to prepare for 2018 because it's here. And so because of that, because 2018 is here, because we're starting a new year, we're going to start a new sermon series. And that sermon series will have us, as you see, in the book of Genesis for a few weeks. And I'm looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to this series. I'm looking forward to doing this series with you. Because this is one of these stories that we will get into that we all probably in here know. But if you're like me, it's only been recently, in about the last 4 to 5 months, that I've really started spending some time in this text, spending some time in this story. All too often we work ourselves in the New Testament, and that's good. But this is one of those stories that we know. I don't know if we get to all the time because it's the first part of Genesis. It's a really good song for our kids because we all know Father Abraham had many sons. But I'm not sure we really get into it and read the story of Abraham. And so for the next few weeks, as we start this year, we're going to start at the very first of the Bible. And we're going to look at the story of Abraham and what the story of Abraham is calling us, I believe, into. And hopefully as we go through this time together, you'll find yourself in this story. You'll find yourself in this journey. And we'll have a good time together as we do this. And so if we know anything about Genesis, you know, the first 11 chapters are set up with God in Genesis 1:1 showing up and creating. God spoke and God created. And in the process of that, God also brings humanity into the picture. Let us make them in our image. And so we have creation happening. And it's not but a few chapters into Genesis that we run into man and woman wanting to be like God. And us who are image bearers losing our image bearingness in a way. And from that moment on, you have this journey that God begins to go on with God's creation. Everything from Noah and saying, I'm going to start again through you. And we go through Noah, and then we get to this part 9, 10, 11, and we get Babel. And we get the Tower of Babel, in which man again tries to decide that I will be like God. And it's God who shows up and confuses. And so we get to this part of Genesis. And it's in this part of Genesis that we're going to be in for a little while. And what we see here is a story of God and Abraham. And in this story, we see decisions are having to be made. Is what God promises that we're going to read here in a minute trustworthy enough to follow, or are they a fool's errand? Is Abraham willing to make the decision to go into a promise that he knows nothing about? He knows it's a promise, but that's all he knows. Is he willing to do it? Either way, as we read Genesis 12, we begin to notice that a decision has to be made. And I believe for a lot of us, this is part of our life as well. Decisions have to be made. And what we notice in the story of Abraham is that God expects a decision. And that decision does something to us. It's not just a decision that we make and then we do nothing. It's actually a decision that gets us up and moves us. And we see this in the story of Abraham. So if you have a Bible, start reading with me in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 9. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's households to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great and will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse who curse you. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions that they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there, he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent. With Bethel on the west and Ai on the east, there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward Negev. Now, I want you to notice something about this as we begin our journey with Abraham. The very first words that start this story, the very first words that come out are words from God. Immediately as we read this story, we know the author and initiator of this story. It's God who speaks. And notice how God speaks, what God is speaking into. Because as we read this, as we read this story of Abraham and Sarai, we notice something, and we may not notice it if we don't read chapter 11, verses 30 and 32. Because what we realize is, as God speaks in 12:1, that God speaks to a people, to a family who has no future. And why do I say that? Because what we read in chapter 11, verses 30 and 32 is this. Now Sarai was barren, she had no child. Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarah, his son's Abram wife, and they went out together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. But notice what happened. They never got to Canaan, right? They made it as far as Haran and settled there. So if we look at this family and what's happening inside the life of this family, first, they're an older couple. Nothing against older couples. They're an older couple at 75 and they're barren. And the place that they were trying to get to, they never got to. So really, when we think about the story of Abraham, we start with the story of someone who has no future. They have no future generations. Where they are is where they are. This is where they're going to stay, and this is where they're going to die. And by the way, they're going to die without any future generations speaking their name. That's what we notice. But we read that, and then we get to 12:1, and the Lord said, "Go." And it's curious here because what I think we notice and what dawned on me as I read this is that God has a tendency, and it seems to be God's habit, to speak into the non-perfect situation. God doesn't have to wait for the perfect person. God doesn't have to wait for the perfect situation. God doesn't have to wait for the perfect community. In fact, what we see here in this moment with this couple who has no future. And I know we know the story and we want to look further on. Don't look further on just yet. This is a couple without a future, and yet God says go. God picks Abram and Sarah and says go. Because if the people had to be perfect, if the family had to be perfect, or the situation had to be perfect, it would be a really long time before we ever got to this story. And there probably would be no need for God at that point, because if it's perfect. But instead, what we notice is that God steps into this moment and says, go. So immediately as we start reading the story, we know that this story is not a human story. Why? Because human stories really like to put hope inside even a context that feels hopeless, right? The main character who's going to be the hero of the day is normally a little bit younger, normally has somewhat of a future, at least ahead of them. But really, when we read this story, it's really hard to read of a 75-year-old family who is barren that can have any future. We read this and say, there is no future for them. But this is not a human story. It is God's story. God doesn't need the perfect. God needs the willing. And in this, God breaks in. And notice what God says to Abraham. I'm going to call him Abraham, and that's my bad, because his name is Abram in chapter 12. But notice what God says. God doesn't say this when God comes into the picture in 12:1. Hey, man, this is God, you know, Yahweh, the guy who created. Just want to give you a heads up. This is what I'm thinking about. Now, think it over. And if you think it's a good idea, then go ahead and do it. We notice that God doesn't say any of that, right? God doesn't say, hey, heads up. This is what I'm thinking about doing. In fact, we go from Sarah is barren, Abram's family didn't make it to where they wanted to go, to God immediately saying, go. That's it. Go. And as we read this, and as I see this, it begins to dawn on me that this may be what faith is. That isn't this what faith is when we really think about it? That faith, for so many of us, has been considered, and I'm going to do the best I can with an English teacher looking at me, faith has been considered so many times to be a noun. It identifies us, right? We're people kind of faith. We're faith people. It kind of identifies who we are. But what I think we notice as we read the story of Abraham is faith isn't a noun, but God's go requires a response from Abraham. God's go requires something of Abraham. And even as we read this, we notice a couple things about this go, because as God says go, then God does a couple things. First off, he says, everything about this go is on me, right? So right after the go, we have the promises that are made to Abraham, and we notice those promises have five I's in them. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse. Yeah, it's five. Five I's. And we notice that, and I want you, and secondly, think about this. The go that God gave Abraham, the promise that God gave Abraham, that was all on God, the second thing to notice is all of these things are in the future. They have not come to fruition. And for Abram, you can imagine they don't make any sense. 75-year-old man with a barren wife. They've made it as far as they've ever made it. And yet, what does God tell them? I'm going to make you a great nation. At 75 years old, without a kid, think about what that looks like. How are you going to make me a great nation? I'm going to bless you. What does blessing me look like? I've already got pretty much everything I need. I'm comfortable in this place. But God says, go, and I'm going to bless you. I'm going to curse you. I'm going to curse those who curse you. It's not you who's going to do it. I'm going to do it. All of these things that is going on in this story, as we begin to read it, is God speaking a future into the life of Abram and Sarah, a future that they don't understand, but the future. But in order for this future to happen, God looks at Abram, and in the very first sentence of chapter 12 says, go. Go. That's what God tells Abram to do. And so as I was reading and looking and realized how much we look at faith more as a noun and reading the story of Abram, I realized maybe faith is more a verb. Maybe faith is more a verb than it is a noun. Faith moves us from one point to another. Faith moves us out of our comfort, our fear, our hopelessness, and our anxiety. Faith moves us towards a response. Will we stay in our comfort? Will we stay in the narrative that we've kind of written for ourselves, which we probably heard? I know it's a phrase I say all the time. Well, it is what it is. Will we stay in that narrative? Because faith offers for us movement out of that. But faith also means that we have to make some decisions. As God is giving this to Abram and says, before anything else, go, and this is what I promise you, and I know the promises sound far-fetched, but this is what I promise you. Abram has to count the cost. Is it worth getting up? Is it worth moving my family? Is it worth believing all of this? And by the way, this isn't just in the Old Testament. Jesus does the same thing in Luke 14. In Luke 14, starting in verse 25, what do we notice? Now large crowds were traveling with him, and he turned and said to them, whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and it is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, this fellow began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000. If he cannot, then while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. Jesus, even as he's talking to his disciples, says, you're going to have to count the cost of if this is worth following me. Faith requires decision. Faith requires movement. And by the way, it always seems to start with the go, because going from Luke 14, we can jump to Matthew 28, to the Great Commission, one in which we all know, and notice how Jesus starts the Great Commission off. What's the first word? Go. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And what's the promise he makes in this go? And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus says go. And in that go, there is a promise. The promise is, I will be with you till the end of the age. Now, we have to count the cost if it's worth us going and if we believe that Jesus will be with us until the end of the age. So if this is what faith is, if faith is not a noun, but faith is a verb, then what does it look like? And I believe that we see this in three words in verse 4. And in three words in verse 4, the writer says, this is what faith looks like. So Abram went. So Abram went. We have three verses of God saying go and giving a promise. And the next verse of chapter 4, it doesn't give us commentary in between. It said Abram went back to Sarah. And we're going to notice that a lot in the story of Abram, that Sarah never gets any kind of familial conversation here. But there's nothing like, hey, this has happened to me. Verse 4 is, so Abram went. Abram moved forward into God's promise. Abram took the first steps toward and forward, a promise he could not imagine, a promise he didn't understand. But in that moment, he took one step out of the past and into the future. In one moment, he took a step that put him into the unknown. And when we think about the future is unknown to us. But we also are people of promise. And so while the future is unknown in a lot of ways, the future is also certain for us in a lot of ways. But so many times we struggle taking the first step into the future. So many times we are not sure if God is really trustworthy in his promise. And yet when we read Matthew 28, and then we go and look at Acts 1 and Acts 2, we begin to have our answers on if God is trustworthy in his promise. In Acts 1, Jesus shows up and Jesus leaves and says, I'm about to leave. You stay in Jerusalem because something good's going to happen. Jesus goes up into heaven and the disciples are doing what? They're hanging out and looking up into the sky, and it's the angels that say, hey, don't forget, go to Jerusalem, hang out. And from that moment on, and they do it, they go back to Jerusalem, and from that moment on, the Holy Spirit shows up. Acts 2 happens. Peter gives the sermon of all sermons. And then we begin to see conversion. But how that happened is they had to make the step forward into a future that they weren't sure, but that God had promised. And I believe that's what faith is for us. Faith is, are we willing to take the first step into the future? Are we willing, like Abram, to when we hear and know that God says go, that God is trustworthy in that go? And like Abram, we take the step into the future. And it's not easy. It's never going to be easy. But we notice that God is not done as he says, go to Abraham. This is a continued thing for God. Even as we get into the New Testament, we saw in Matthew 28, Jesus tells us to go. And so as we begin 2018, as we think about who we are as faith people, as we sit here today and think about what the next day holds, what the next week holds, what the next month holds for our lives, for the congregation at Grapevine, where do you find yourself in this? Do you find yourself saying, I'm a person of faith, it's kind of a noun for me, I'm good here? Or do you find yourself wanting to be, desiring to be, hoping to be the Christian who uses faith in the verb sense? I'll faith today. I'll move forward today. And either or, one is easier than the other. Sitting down and being comfortable right here is really easy. I'm good with what I know. But God seems to be calling us to something more. God seems to be offering us and saying, go, and I will bless you, and I will make you a great nation. In fact, Jesus says, go, and even more than that, I will be with you always. While the future may be uncertain, and you don't know who you're going to run into, Jesus says, I'll guarantee you this, if you take the first step forward, I'm going to be right there with every step. Are we willing to trust that? Be like Abram and walk forward into faith. And so there's a future right in front of us. And for 2018, I wonder if it will be written about Grapevine, "So Grapevine Went." So Grapevine Went. They went into the community. They went into the neighborhood. They went into the lives of their coworkers. They went into the lives of their family members. They went into the lives of their neighbors. That's our call for 2018. That's our call every day, to take a step forward. And as we see throughout the story of Abraham over the next few weeks, is that this isn't going to always be easy. There's going to be bumps in the road. Even for Abram, we're reminded he's not perfect. In fact, verse 9 ends with this idea of, "And so the journey begins." But Abram in this moment knew that the journey began with the God who promised. And all God does is look at us and say, "Go." Kevin DeYoung says this, and I love this kind of as we close this sentence. Kevin DeYoung says, "Faith lays hold of what is in Christ and seeks to live into it, or rather, to live it out in godly action." Faith is taking the step forward. Faith is believing, like Abram, that God is trustworthy in his promise. Because what we're going to see is next week in this moving forward, that God moves forward with us. And we notice that in the story of Abraham. So this week, think about where you're at in this journey. Maybe you're like, "I'm good. I'm this age. I've been doing it for a while. There's nothing else ahead of me. I'm good." But I will tell you this. Remember that a 75-year-old couple that was barren was called to move. Or maybe you're young and you say, "I'm not there yet, but when I get to a certain age." And I remind you that God called a 75-year-old barren couple to get up and move. That's our call to this congregation. Are we going to take the step forward into this future? Are we going to faith this year? I think we will. I'm looking forward to it. It's the start of a new year. Who knows what's going to happen? But we go forward with God walking next to us.
You've been listening to Grapevine Church of Christ. Subscribe to our sermon podcast and to our other Grapevine Church podcasts for special behind-the-scenes content. For more information, you can go to www.grapevinechurch.com.